Hostile searchlights up on the tower. Right now. Move! Move!
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb, and welcome to Community Spotlight here at 2ARM FM. I have in the studio today Deirdre Donnelly. Good morning, Deirdre.
Good morning, Herb. How are you going?
I'm very well. So welcome to the studio. You're a local?
I sure am. Don't sound like a local, but I am.
Yes. You've been here since, what, 2015?
Yeah, December 2015.
And where did you come from?
Used to live in Sydney. Lived there for about 7 years. I suppose my journey started back in 2008, whenever I arrived here as a backpacker. And, yeah, spent 7 years in Sydney, met my other half, and, yeah, decided to relocate to Armidale back in 2015 when we were pregnant with our second and realised in Sydney, you know, we didn't have a village. I'm a country girl, so, yeah, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law and their kids all live here in Armidale, so we decided to take the plunge and leave the big smoke and come to Armidale.
And what did you do in Sydney?
So in Sydney, I was a union organizer for early childhood educators. I did that for about 5 years in Sydney, but unfortunately, whenever we decided to take the plunge and move to Armidale, there was no regional organizing position, so I had to leave a job that I really, really loved. But really weighing up a job and compare that to your family life, it was quite an easy decision to move to Armidale.
So you're in Armidale and your other half, Rob, he's got Blackbird Oldwares.
He sure does.
And that's in Rusden Street.
It is.
And I noticed that it's constantly has new stuff in it. You must spend a lot of time trying to search for things around the place.
He certainly does. He goes far and wide to make sure that he's got new stock in there, so there's always something new for everyone to come in and have a look.
I think he said to me one day, not having things going stale, like moving through the shop all the time is really important.
Absolutely. Yeah, he tries to keep his costs as low, so he has that turnover, so there's always new stuff in there for people to come and have a look and come and find what you need.
And he pretty well started that 8 years ago, not long after you came here.
Yeah, it was actually, he opened up his first place just behind Ben and Kate, brother-in-law and sister-in-law, behind their shop there on Man Street. So our youngest was only about 5 days old whenever he started his journey in Blackbird Oldwares.
And Olive and Emily, your two girls.
They are.
They're in primary school at St Mary's.
They are.
I saw them in netball uniform. What netball team do they play?
Oh, they play for SEASCS, I think.
And that's an Armidale. I think an Armidale town one.
It is indeed, yeah.
And how are they enjoying St Mary's?
Oh, they love St Mary's. It's a great community to be part of. Yeah, their cousins went there and, yeah, they're really thriving there.
So you came to Armidale and then you got involved with the Irish Water Run. This was 2019. Oh, can you tell me how that all came about?
That is quite a story. So, yeah, like you said, back in 2019, I still have a really good connection to Irish folk down in Sydney. One of them particularly I knew from home. He reached out to me and said that he had a water tank and he wanted to, it was during the drought, I think we all kind of remember how hard that was, but he wanted to help someone out and he put it out on Facebook, and I knew of a family that were really struggling and I made contact with him and he was like, yeah, no worries at all. He was going to jump on his truck and bring up the water. So that's how it started.
And how many trucks came up in the end?
There was over 100.
I think it took people by surprise in Armidale.
It did. Look, it escalated really, really quickly. So what happened there was once he'd reached out and said that he was going to come up, we've got an amazing Facebook group called The Irish of Sydney. And we put it onto that Facebook group. And then all of a sudden, the Irish community really got behind it and said, like, what can we do? Like, if you're going, let's all go together. And certain people who, couldn't travel up or whatever, they were just buying pallets of water and saying, saying, we've got pallets of water, who's got a truck, who can get a lorry to get it up with? And yeah, just in the space of a few weeks, yeah, we saw over 100 trucks pulling into to Armidale. It happened pretty quickly. You know, the Rotary Club got really involved in it and they were absolutely phenomenal at getting that water out to the people that really needed it.
Well, I think my thought was that when it was happening is it, what a fantastic thing for these people to actually make that commitment to make that journey. Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about Old Country Ireland. Whereabouts in Ireland did you come from or do you come from?
So I'm actually from Northern Ireland, County Tyrone, which is about, the little place that I'm from is a place called Dungannon, which is about 50 minutes drive west of Belfast.
Oh, gotcha. So you tell me, so you still got family in Ireland?
I do.
And how many is in your family?
Oh my gosh. All of my family. So I've got my mum and my dad and my two older sisters and nieces and nephews and aunties and uncles and heaps of cousins. Yeah, so the whole family are back there.
And you've just come back from a trip over there?
I have, yeah. It feels like forever ago. But yeah, just over a month ago, we went over for my niece's wedding, which was absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, the four of us went for a month. It was just too quick. Way too quick.
So let's go to what you do now. Now, you were in Sydney prior to coming up to Armidale in the United Voice, which is the union that represents early childhood learning.
Yes.
And you're now in a position in that same organisation?
Yes. Yeah, so I came back to that organisation in, 2021. But since I had left and came back, they had amalgamated with another union to create an even bigger union that represents 150,000 workers across Australia. So it's one of the largest unions.
And what's your position there now?
So now I am the New South Wales ACT lead organiser for early childhood educators.
So let's go to early childhood educators. Now, we talked off air about the Finnish model in supporting early childhood educators. So why is the Finnish model such a great example for us to look at?
So in the Finnish countries, like the Scandinavian countries, they really have a high regard for early childhood education. Early childhood educators are right up there with doctors and teachers and everything, because they understand that the first 5 years of a child's life are the most important when it comes to brain development. So if they invest heavily into the early learning spaces, because not only are you educating children at their prime time during the first 5 years, but if you're investing, you're actually investing into the future. So if you take a look at Scandinavian countries, they've got less crime rates, they've got less mental health issues. They also have, and the majority of children go on to university. But not only that, it's supporting the community. So if you have early learning centres like they do in Finland, for example, on every corner, it's a community thing. So families have a choice of where their children are going to go to, but also families can get back into the workforce, which is way better for the community.
For me, taking a simplistic view, I've always thought that we don't invest in our most precious resource, which is our young kids, mm-hmm. our most precious. Mm-hmm. Every family views their own children, and mm-hmm. by not paying and not recognising the educators that are looking after our most precious, our next generation mm-hmm. of people in our society, we're really doing a disservice to that next generation.
Absolutely. We've really missed the mark. And, you know, that's a long-term vision for us, is to have early childhood education recognised as education, and with that put into the education portfolio to, instead of it being somewhere, like it's about that recognition of really understanding that we have a qualified workforce in early childhood to help develop and educate our youngest generations so that they can give them the platform to be the best people that they can be.
So where does that start from? So where are we starting from now in terms of education for early childhood educators and the related pay scale, I suppose?
Well, look, as it stands, early childhood educators, well, look, there's been a few movements in this past couple of months, which is really, really exciting. But history has told us that educators have not been recognised as the professionals that they are. We've been lobbying. We've had a massive campaign that's been going on for decades. We need to really recognise that education doesn't start when the child puts on a uniform. Education actually starts from from the day the child's born. So there's been, like, we have lobbied and we have won the National Quality Framework, the NQF, which is really sets a standard to ensure that children are getting that education in their early learning services. But what we know is that educators were not being paid their worth. Like, they're a very highly skilled and qualified workforce, but unfortunately their pay has never reflected the work that they do.
But you mentioned that there's been some advancements in the last couple of months. We'll get that right at the end. But tell me, what would a normal day in your official capacity of a union, leading the Union of Early Childhood Educators, what would it sort of look like?
I've just taken on this new position of lead organiser for New South Wales ACT. But before that, I was an organiser who was going out into early learning centres to talk to educators about the campaign and really giving educators the opportunity to be part of a campaign that's really trying to change the sector and really try to get that recognition for the amazing work that they are doing. But not only that, to fight and to win professional wages for educators, because we know there's a massive workforce crisis out there. Educators have been leaving the sector because they can no longer afford to work in the job that they love. To go out and really empower and find these amazing educators who really are so passionate about what they do, but also to ensure that we've got a stable workforce going forward. For them to be part of this campaign, because it's educators out there that know what the issues are, but they also know what the solutions are. So my role was to go out and, yes, bring people into the union, but also to identify leaders within that and help develop them so that they can go out and talk to their educators about what's going on and giving everyone an opportunity to come on board and really change the sector.
So, Deirdre, how hard is it for local parents to find a place at a qualified preschool or early childhood learning centre?
Oh, look, I think we've all seen in the local newspapers and that there is what they call an early learning desert, and that's even more so in the regional areas where women are trying to get back into the workforce or maybe trying to up their days so that they can get more money coming into their families, that they're finding it really, really hard to find a place. One, not only because of the limited amount of centres that are in the area, but two, there could be that what we know is the workforce crisis. So they might have positions available. There might be a 100-place centre, but they can only run at, say, 60% occupancy because they don't have the educators actually there to meet ratio. So that is creating this childcare desert, which means that it's really, really hard to find a space. There could be a waiting list of up to 2 years for families trying to find a place for their children.
So what we're talking about is raising the pay scale. Mm-hmm. So that it's a realistic option for people coming out of school or university or whatever they're coming mm-hmm. from to go into the sector, mm-hmm. be trained and be recognised as a quality trained professional mm-hmm. and with related pay scale. And then hopefully you won't get, as you mentioned, the early childhood employment desert. You're talking about more placements for people to put their children in.
Absolutely. And what we know is that it's not only just attracting people into the workforce, it's actually about bringing the people that have left the sector because they could no longer afford it. So we know that we've got thousands of educators out there who are really passionate about early childhood, but they've had to make that decision because of wages that they could no longer work in the sector. So we've lost a massive amount of highly skilled that have the years of experience that are able to mentor the younger generation coming through in early learning. We know that if they were paid a professional wage, that a lot of those educators are actually going to come back. And with that, the younger generation are actually going to see early childhood education as a profession and as a long-term career.
So tell me, you mentioned back right in the beginning about some exciting news that's over the last couple of months. Can you sort of outline what that might be?
So look, it's been a long time coming, which has been pretty amazing. We have had a commitment from the Labor government that they are going to fund 15% wage increase for early childhood educators.
And how will early childhood educators receive this money?
We have actually had a seat at the negotiating table through this multi-employer bargaining, and for educators to get this funding into their pockets, the easiest and the best way to do that is by signing on to the union sector-wide approved agreement. Through the agreement that we are are just about to finalize. So for the easiest way for educators to be part of that is to, one, be part of your union, and then we can work with you to ensure the documentation is sent through to your employer, and we can invite your employer to sign on to that agreement to ensure that this funding goes directly to them and directly into their pockets.
And if I was to search Mr. Google for the union, what would that be?
It's United Workers Union.
All right, well, you've heard that first. We've got a pay increase on the way for early childhood educators. I hope it's one of many for the future.
Oh, absolutely. It's just really the start. And great news is that yesterday in Canberra, there was legislation passed to ensure that this funding is going directly to wages and to ensure that it's there for the term of the agreement.
I suppose in the future that we hope that we actually have kids going through school and they see it as a realistic option to become an early childhood educator.
Absolutely.
And we change our society to the better.
Totally, totally. I think that, you know, if we want a world-class early learning system, exactly like the Swedish countries, the Finnish countries have, and that's something that we really need to strive forward to, and getting professional wages is really just the first step forward. Really what we want to see is universal access and free for all. Early childhood education should be a child's right. Everyone should be able to have that quality early learning, not just from the age of five, but definitely from birth.
Yeah, definitely, Deirdre. And as I said before, you know, they're the most precious resources we have in our society, our next generation, our children. We've really got to give them the best opportunity that we can to be the best people that they can be within our communities.
Exactly.
Well, thanks, Deirdre, for coming in. Say good day to Rob and Olive and Emily for me.
I will.
And you are one of our gems and one of our locals in our community. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Herb. It's been great.
And that's Community Spotlight.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM. In the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.